Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Mookie Wilson already had a successful baseball career before Game 6 of the 1986 Mets-Red Sox World Series made him one of the most iconic figures in baseball. The ball that went between Bill Buckner's legs at first base was the play that turned the series and team morale around for the Mets. The 86 Mets have forever been loved and loathed for their swagger, their attitude, and their aptitude on the field. They won a record 108 games that year in addition to taking home the trophy. In a team of larger-than-life characters like Keith Hernandez, Doc Gooden, Daryl Strawberry, and Lenny Dykstra, Mookie is one of the most beloved and revered Mets to this day. He writes about his career and life in his book, Mookie, Life, Baseball, and the 86 Mets, which is now out in paperback. He shares stories of that triumphant year from the dugout, as well as his early life in the rural South, his time in the minor leagues, and being called up to play as a Met. Again, the title of the book is Mookie, Life, Baseball, and the 86 Mets, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Mookie Wilson to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Very nice to have you aboard. Even though you have been retired for some time, does the idea of opening day still excite you?
Opening day is always exciting for everyone. Everyone is optimistic, you know, about the prospect of what the season is going to hold or what it's going to bring. And you get to see new players, new faces. So it's always exciting. I mean, even to this day, I'm looking forward to opening day.
And you root for, are you a Mets fan? Who do you root for?
Oh, I'm a Mets fan. I'm a diehard Mets fan. Always, you know, I played with them. I coached them, and I'm a Met for life. I mean, I've been to other organizations. I've been played for Toronto, but once a Met, always a Met, and you always, you know, wish the best for them.
When you were putting the book together and you wanted to talk about your career, what ultimately was the story that you wanted to tell?
The ultimate story was not about, you know, it wasn't about baseball. I think you can Google me or any other ball player for that matter and get every stat you want and some that you don't want and don't understand. And I did not want to do that. I wanted the book to be some baseball, but I wanted to be more about life, more about what baseball has, you know, what it meant to me, my accomplishments, my failures, my struggles, and baseball is a big part of that. And I just want people to understand the story behind the player, and that was my intent when I wrote the book.
Did you have an aha moment in your life where you thought to yourself, okay, I probably am good enough to play in the majors?
You know, I think every player has that. I don't care how good or how confident some player or any player is until you actually put yourself in that position and have something good, some accomplishments, some success. There is going to be that little doubt. And I think I had mine early in my career when I was playing in New York, and I think I hit a home run off Bruce Sutter to win a ball game after I had made an error to give St. Louis to go ahead and run. And once I hit that home run, I said to myself, you know, I could have folded, but this shows me that I belong. So everyone has that moment.
You have a great chapter in the book about you and Willie Mays, and you talk about meeting him. You were playing your minor league season for the Mets A-ball team in Wisconsin, and Willie Mays makes an effort to talk to you, and you try to figure out why, and what you ultimately come down to is that he could see himself in you in some way.
Yeah, I knew very little about pro ball because I was from South Carolina. We didn't have any pro ball down there. And I was a baseball player as opposed to a fan. But even the most, you know, everyone knows about Willie Mays. I mean, you have to be almost dead not to know about Willie Mays.
And, right.
You know, and I knew he played, you know, in New York for a time, but I knew him mostly because he played with the Giants. And he played very little with the Mets eventually. But when I was signed, and I was in Wisconsin, we left the Warsaw and we went down to instructional league. And he made an effort, you know, to introduce himself to me and to talk with me. And I couldn't believe him saying, I'm talking to Willie Mays, you know, of all people. I mean, why would he make the effort to speak to me?
Right.
And we kind of, you know, I guess that's what it was, that he saw a lot of himself in me, and he's made an effort to, you know, to seek me out whenever he was in town. We went to San Francisco, and it's just one of those things. I mean, he didn't know me personally. I mean, it was a ball player thing, evidently.
Right. So, Do you find yourself in that position now where young players seek you out or want to meet you and to have that similar of a connection?
And you know, I've met a couple of players who are very players are a little bit different now. You know, I think a lot of players are not baseball fans, just like I wasn't a baseball fan. And they really don't have a lot of they don't know a lot of the history, you know, of the organization that they're in. Or in baseball, because they were baseball players that play all summer. I mean, they don't have time to sit down and collect cards and do all the baseball fan stuff. But they always is that one player that you see, you say, wow, there's something about that player, you know. And you get a connection with that player, and it grows. And I've had a couple of players that's been that way. I met the guy that's actually playing center field for the Mets right now, Juan Lagares. From day one, I thought this kid was there was something special about this kid, you know. And he has turned out to be a terrific center fielder, and he's going to be an outstanding baseball player, offensively and defensively. And there are a couple others, but he's the one guy right now that I can honestly say that I really just kind of was drawn to him because of his approach to the game.
So I find that interesting of you describing yourself really not as a fan or maybe not knowing of the history, but obviously it was what you were focused on of what you wanted to do. So it was more the athletic component of it than it was the historic component of it.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. I mean, I was a baseball player. I mean, I grew up playing baseball. My father was an avid baseball guy. I mean, he loved the game, and we played baseball every chance we got. And I couldn't name 10 major league ball players when I was growing up because I always played. I was never a fan of the game. I became a fan of the game later when I got more involved with baseball at the college level and minor league level. Then I began to, you know, keep up with the stats and the numbers and who played where, who did what. But early on, I was not a fan. I was a baseball player. And to this day, I love baseball, but I couldn't tell you all the numbers and the stats, but I could sit and watch 3 games and not even drink a Coke.
So you write in the book, of course, about 1986 and this amazing season. There's so many incredible things about that season. It's a record-winning season, a 16-inning game against the Houston Astros that won you the pennant, and then you're in the World Series against the Red Sox, and you look at this, of course, the Buckner era at first. So what, when you look at that, when you write about it, when you sit down and relive it, which I'm sure you're asked to do time and time again, does it just take on another life at this point, sort of an out-of-body experience?
Yeah, it really does, and writing about it was a joy, and it was, you know, everything was as if it happened yesterday, because you don't forget those things. It was a very special season, and the players were special. I mean, the games were special, and it's the attitude. I mean, I've won games before. I won in high school, I won in college, but this was different. You know, this was different. This was in the grandest stage of all, and you know, to be able to write about that. And I'll be honest with you, when I started writing the book, it was not to be a baseball book. I intentionally did not want it to be a baseball book. But you could not write a book about my life and not mention that season, because that season
right.
was such a big part of what I have become as a Major League Baseball player. It was just a fantastic thing, but it's just one of the most awesome things I've ever had to rewrite or relive was that season.
When you think about it and you look at what that season not only meant for you but meant for the city of New York and ultimately for Mets fans, And the struggle that the team has had since, how do you put that into perspective, especially when you're considering what was on the line at the time for the Boston Red Sox?
Well, if we look at it, the Mets had a history of losses. Of course they won in '69, but after that, it's really been a struggle. Manager after manager can't find players for positions, and Boston had really gone through the same thing. I mean, they hadn't won in years, long before the Mets. So the Mets were a fairly young team in comparison to the Boston Red Sox. But we were fairly similar paths, and we both teams were in a position to, for lack of a better term, exercise the demons, to kind of get that shadow from over us. And, to come out of that the way we did, it was nothing short of amazing. It was nothing short of amazing because we had players there who were not even Met players. They knew nothing. I mean, and we just come from nowhere. And to do that was one of the most amazing things. But the team now is kind of going through the same struggles. They're making adjustments. They're changing manager after manager, coach after coach. They're bringing in players, new players. And now we seem to start to see that same trend happen again, some young, promising players. And we have to see where it goes from here. But I see a similar path, a similar transition going on right now. So this is what's exciting to me.
When you think of what you're proud of and what you've accomplished both on and off the field, and you write a lot about that in the book, really. But what do you think you're proud of and looking at the accomplishments?
I've led a very blessed life. In spite of all the struggles and adversity that, I've endured earlier in my career, not as a ball player, but as a person coming through the years in the 60s and 70s when life was not very pleasant for African Americans in the South particularly, but in this country, but particularly in the South. And to overcome that and to eventually end up going to college, which is something that was unheard of back then for a person in my situation. But to do that and to come out and end up playing baseball in the most sports-oriented city, I would say in the world, arguably in the world, in New York, and to be successful doing that, that's nothing short of amazing. Because if you look at my history or my growing up in a large family, being African-American, growing up in the South, being poor, that is a recipe for failure. And I overcame all of that. Yeah, the ring is great and all of that, but I also have a college degree. And that's, so I've accomplished a lot when I started with nothing. And that's, there again, that's a lot of what the book is all about, is to endure, because there is success. And sometimes success can come in many ways, and there's something to be learned even from failure and adversity.
And even though you've had that success, I mean, because it's fascinating as you write about the end of your career, because you finish your career in Toronto as a Blue Jay, and that was really bittersweet, wasn't it?
It was bittersweet because, like I said, once I met, always met.
Right.
And I really wanted to end my career in New York. I mean, there's no question about it. But, organizations have different, ideas a lot of times, and they have different paths that they have to follow. And they have one obligation, that is to the organization. And but going to Toronto was sweet because it was a beautiful city. I had a great, great teammates. Management was unbelievable. I think it's another one of the great experiences I've had, in my life. But there again, it wasn't New York, I enjoyed it. But when I left there, I'm back in New York. So, hey, that should say a lot right there.
Well, the name of the book is Mookie, Life, Baseball, and the 86 Mets. The book is now out in paperback, and it's a great pleasure to speak with you. Mookie Wilson, thank you very much for talking to us. Have a great season, and thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Mookie, Life, Baseball, and the 86 Mets. The book is published by Berkeley. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.